We're excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencastr, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zen for the podcast.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the Archaeology Podcast, episode 88. I'm Chris Webster. On today's show, I present the Facebook Live recording of the You Call This Archaeology show from April 12th, 2020 with Richie Cruz. Before we start, I just wanted to mention one more time that this episode of the You Call This Archaeology show with Richie Cruz and Chris Webster was recorded on Facebook Live on April 12th, 2020. If you'd like to join in and watch the recording on most Sundays, then go like the APN Facebook page so you get notified every time we go live, and that's at facebook.com/arcpodnet. This is a largely unedited episode, and we talk about a lot of things, including a very small amount of archaeology. On to the show. All right, well, let's try this again then. Welcome, everybody. We are live one more time. Let's see here. Why don't you kick it off, Richie, and tell us what's going on in your life, because I'm going to get this shared out one more time.
Oh, good. All right. Well, this is just like last week when you were... Wait, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when you had to do two live streams for the CRM Arc podcast?
I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Stream 2.0. I guess this would almost be like 80, show 80.1. Hopefully.
80.1. Nice.
Yeah. You know. Wow. Oh, God. Oh, good. So everything's green on my board now. Thank God. All right. Well, oh, wow. We got four people watching. Cool. Welcome, everyone. Chris is like, I'm sharing it all out again. So hopefully, hopefully I keep you entertained for a little while. Anyway, hopefully we're all not bored.
Hopefully.
It's interesting because I was watching some dude walk by outside my apartment and he was like talking to someone who was coming out of his apartment on the second floor. Mm-hmm. And he had to justify himself saying, I just couldn't like be in the house anymore. Like I was going to go crazy, which I feel like is crazy that we've gotten to that point.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. I do feel slightly guilty for like biking around without my bandana on because I don't want to feel like I'm like going to rob someone.
Yeah, but that's what everybody's doing now. It's okay to walk into a place all covered up now.
God, you know, yeah. It's interesting. The only bandanas I have are like the ones, I mean, God, we haven't worked together in winter in a long time, but I use those instead of scarves, you know, kind of like the Boy Scout scarf, except that mine's just a single color. And then I turned that around.
Nice.
Yeah, and I thought I had an N95 mask in storage, but I did not. So now I'm super sad and learning that all people on Etsy are like swamped. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I put in an order two different places, and one of them is not responding, and the other one just said, sorry, we're just like crazy busy.
Well, I mean, if you follow one of those instructions on folding a bandana and then... you're supposed to use like hair ties or something, but if you use like rubber bands or something, you can get it to go around your ears and then hook it up to the bandana. Yeah. And that's just as good as somebody sewing one, because to be honest, the sewing ones, you know, they're not going to block anything from coming in, but they might block like aerosols. If you were infected and didn't know it and coughed out in the public or something, then, you know, it would block stuff from going out just because it's aerosolized, and that's basically blocked, but the actual virus is not blocked from going in or out of the bandana. So, you know, or any of the SE masks. So, you know.
Oh, interesting. I mean, not like it really matters. I've only left the house literally to whatchamacallit to like go for bike ride. Like I haven't been to the grocery store like in over a week. almost 2 weeks.
We ordered groceries on Costco the other day and hoping they would be here yesterday, and they won't be here until Monday to Wednesday, it says.
You know what's interesting? So, Raley's has something I kept wanting to try, but haven't because I haven't needed anything from the grocery store. And that's their e-cart. Like, you know,
yeah.
Supposedly it doesn't add any kind of, I have to read more closely, but supposedly it doesn't add any more, whatchamacallit, you know, any
more charge?
Like Instacart.
Yeah. Well, they also don't like deliver it to you either. You have to go pick it up. So,
oh, I know.
But you know, still, that's a big difference.
But that's better than, you know, wandering around inside the store. Which kind of freaked me out last time I was there.
I know it is. And Rachel's gone to Save Mart here by us a couple times. And, ooh, you know, it's, I know. And you got to kind of, you know, just keep your distance and stuff like that. But I haven't left the house today. We just before this stream, we went for a walk around the lake. Yeah. And really it was so I could try out my new toy I got today for my birthday. But, I'll tell you in a minute. Cool. But we did that, and it was the first time I've been out of the house since Monday.
Wow.
So for like seven. Now, I've been out on the porch. You know, we got a little fire table, and we've had some nice days. I've been out. It's not like I've been outside, but haven't been out of like the house area since Monday when we went to my office to pick some things up. So.
God. Did you print out? Can you still like print stuff out? Or is that.
No, they took the. You mean 3D print?
Yeah.
No, they took the 3D printers because they were doing a huge mass project. And I think I might be out of plastic too, because I told them I left my orange on the machine when I was there last, and they didn't know whose that was. So they just started using it. And, and then I told them, I was like, well, you know what? I've got some pink and some green up in my office. Go ahead and use those too if you need to. So I don't know if they did or not. So I might not even have any plastic left. I might have to get some more when we get back to normal, if we ever get back to normal this year. So.
Oh my God. That was actually I was up to a lot yesterday, but there was one thing I was thinking about, because, you remember, what was it? How many months ago was it that Marie Kondo and the whole thing was like, you know, a big thing, like her whole,
a year ago.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, like a year ago when she first came out, it was like a lot of people were just treating it as like hipster bullshit, and they weren't like, you know, some people were doing it the whole way through. But now I feel like we've reached a cultural paradigm where, because I was talking about it with my banker neighbor yesterday, and I was saying that, you know, we've reached a point where a lot of people are now, in the past, like, what, 2-3 weeks since this whole thing started, seeing that there are plenty of things they don't actually need and don't necessarily, you know, like, might not want after this whole thing is going. And yet the whole economy and the thing that kept us going through this, through the recent economic surge was buying stuff we didn't need.
Right.
Know, and the thing is, you know, even if we reopen up the economy, will it really matter if like all that discretionary spending just dries up?
Yeah. I don't know. That's going to be, I don't know. It's such an unprecedented sort of circumstance. It's hard to predict, you know, when things go back to normal. But here's the thing too. We're talking about things going back to normal and what are things going to look like. But now, I mean, there's so many unknowns for 2020 so far. And what happens if we're like this for several months? What happens if we're like this for the rest of the year? I mean, Burning Man is in the beginning of September and it just got canceled.
Wait, really?
Yeah. They just announced it on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so now we're looking at,
hang on. Shoot.
Yeah, I know. My picture went away.
Sorry. I keep forgetting that. Like I was just checking like my episode notes.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. You might have to use your phone to do that.
I know.
Anyway. So they canceled Burning Man, and you know, I'm in the Civil Air Patrol and we use the Reno, National Championship Air Races to have our bigger fundraiser of the year. And I'm just waiting for that to get canceled, 'cause it's 2 weeks after Burning Man and it's the same number of people. So, I just don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, looking at that, it's like, sure, we might relax some social distancing stuff, but we're finding two things out when that happens. First off, Wuhan, China just went back to work this week, and now they're finding an increase in the number of cases. They opened everything up. People flooded the streets and the subways, and now they have a rapid increase in the number of cases. And now they're finding some people in South Carolina who were infected and recovered and are now infected again.
Wait, really?
And they didn't even know that was possible. So the everything is so up in the air on this that we don't know how it's going to, you know, how it's going to impact our daily lives in the next few months. It's just hard to predict. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, we can theorize and say, hey, if we are all magically able to be out in the public, in 30 days, sure. What does the economy look like? But that is a fantasy land, you know? Yeah. Fauci, the infectious diseases guy, he's saying that we shouldn't relax any social distancing measures until there's a vaccine or a treatment. And we're a ways off from that. So, you know, it's tough to say how things are going to proceed, you know,
just don't know. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, like a lot of people, like, I mean, I was reading a mutual friend of ours initially refusing to apply for unemployment. And then suddenly, you know, decided to try, you know, but this person, that's not the important part. This person was like very confident that once all the infrastructure projects started going, that suddenly everything we bet, you know, that, you know, we'd all be back in the field. But I feel like that might not happen. That's actually another thing I was going to talk about. Because, you know, it's like, you know, all these infrastructure projects makes, you know, well, mean an increase in business, or will Trump try to get around all the regulations and like try to shut all that down and just like, you know, just go.
I know, we just did a recording of the CRM Archaeology podcast, which will be out April 22nd, I think. And I feel like I should have a quicker turnaround on these things because everything changes so quickly.
Oh, I know.
But it's tough to say because we were talking about that and we're like, trying to predict, you know, well, what does CRM look like when all this kicks back off again? But see, here's the thing. If we, like I just said, if we start back up in May, you know, we'll probably just pick up where we left off, the whole world will. But if we start back up in July, August, September, you know, at some point people are just not going to start projects, like construction projects, all kinds of stuff are going to drop down. People are just not going to do them because winter's going to start back up again. Right. And then now you've got archaeologists that have been out of work for 9 months that are going to be out of work for a year plus. And it's, you know, they've extended unemployment benefits, but is it going to be enough? You know, Trump's talking about doing another stimulus for workers, but I just don't know if it's going to cut it. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but you got to look at all sides of the coin here. And it's the worst possible outcome, which I think we'll get some version of this, but the worst possible outcome is so many archaeologists, especially new ones in the field, realize the massive instability in this field. And I mean, we had instability before this all started. So, you know, they realize the massive instability in the field and get other jobs. When the economy opens back up, they find other work and they're like, you know what? This isn't going to work for me. And then we have a lack of people to fill jobs, and that's going to be a huge problem. Because we're already on shaky footing with regulatory agencies, right? Like, there's so many people trying to gut the National Historic Preservation Act and the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA and NHPA. And all it would take is a little bit of resistance from us because we can't complete projects because we don't have enough people. And timelines are pushed back for construction firms to start lobbying to relax those regulations that even require us to be there at all. So, I mean, that's the worst case scenario. And I don't think that's going to happen in the exact same way that I said, but I think some version of that could happen, which would suck. So,
Oh man.
Anyway,
God, it makes me wonder, God, maybe I should become an essential worker, even though I don't necessarily want to.
Which means work at a grocery store, apparently.
You know, I mean, I forgot if we talked about this last week, because I definitely talked about it with one of my neighbors. And I was saying that when they originally came, you know, because like the past 2 years, the whole resistance to increasing minimum wage is that was basically for high school students to like for their after school job. But that's not the real reason. That's not the original reason that the minimum wage came about. The whole point of minimum wage was that a person working like a waiter job or at a grocery store could afford to live. I mean, that was the whole point of it originally. And, you know, suddenly it basically got twisted over the years. And now I feel like we might be heading back that way. I might be wrong.
I don't know. It's again, there's no way to predict any of this.
I know.
So,
You know, but, what I was, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. It was one of those things that I was, I wrote down, you know, like there are certain companies, obviously, you know, in the, you know, during normal times, getting to a hospital is hard. But now, like with companies sending people out to, like when we were down in, you know, the Southern California desert last month, they were saying that the closest real emergency room was like, what, San Bernardino?
I think so. Yeah. The closest trauma center.
Yeah, and how responsible is it for companies to still be sending people out during this time? Because, you know, because like if you've read Archaeo Field Techs, you know that there are still companies sending people out and still trying to get people to drive cross country. For all this. It's just like, is that, you know, is that realistic or responsible at all?
It makes me wonder if people are not trying to really look at their hiring practices, because there was one I saw that you might be referring to where somebody was talking about driving across several states and asking if there were any limitations or, you know, restrictions on that. And I'm like, Okay, so what happened? Did the company actually have a hiring and this is somebody they've never worked with before, and they gave them the job and didn't really care where they were coming from, just said, be here at this time. Is that the case, or is this a long-term employee, you know, one of those people they've always had on call, and they just gave them a call and said, hey, we got a job. And again, did not check and see where they live or where they happen to be at the time, because it seems like companies need to be in this time period a little more responsible with that and say, hey, listen, we can only hire you if you're in the state right now, or, you know, don't have to travel far, or something like that. And that might limit their options, but I honestly don't really think so. If they just advertise properly and get on all the right places, then they can find the people in their local area, you know, to do the work. So,
I mean, it doesn't keep, you know, I mean, like how many companies have we seen in California that advertise for local only techs because the company's too cheap?
Well, you know, honestly, I think from a business standpoint, I think companies in California can afford to advertise for local only techs because why bid up a project with hotel and per diem if you've got a pool of 1,000 people sitting around you that that can do it? You know,
exactly.
I mean, they don't need to. They're not being cheap. They're just being smart.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to be competitive, because there's a lot of companies in San Diego, or at least that work in San Diego, and there are a lot of field techs that live and work in San Diego. So if I'm going to bid on a project and I want to hire in out of city area people, and I have to add per diem and, you know, well, basically per diem to the project, I mean, you're going to take a 2-week project and you're going to increase it by $10,000 because you added per diem, and all of a sudden you're going to be underbid by a company that doesn't have to do that. So it's not being cheap. It's just playing the market, you know, and there's so many people down there that they don't need to concern themselves with hiring people out of city and people that, that need per diem.
So. Although, what was it? That person was like, that person we're referring to on Archeo Field Text, weren't they mentioning that they were going to go to, that they were going to, like, what was it, South Dakota, North Dakota, one of the Dakotas. It's like, how many local field techs could there possibly be there?
Yeah, probably not that many.
I mean, you know, I mean, like, I mean, the closest you could do is like Montana or like maybe one of the Midwestern states, and you still have to drive all across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I remember listening to the latest episode of CRM Field Techs, and I know, or CRM Arc podcast, and you know, I know that one of your hosts was mentioning that they're bringing like a professional cleaning crew to like clean the motel and everything, you know, which is all fine and good. But that also made me think, you know, what about the local hospitals? Because, you know, that's literally the first thing that popped to my mind, because it's like, you can clean the hotel, but what if they bring it with them and suddenly, you know, they're fine one day and then suddenly they crash the next day? Because that seems to be the pattern with the coronavirus. Yeah. And it's just like suddenly you're like how many like hours away from someplace and, you know, the ambulance doesn't want to come or whatever.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously they'll come.
No, but you're right, though. I mean, we could be in a position where that's a factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to be conscious of those things, and companies need to be conscious of those things. Because that is...
Ooh.
That's the thing that nobody's factoring in is emergency services, right?
Yeah.
And as somebody in the Civil Air Patrol, it's something I'm acutely aware of, because I saw one of my friends post on Facebook today. He said they went and got picked up food at a drive-thru somewhere, somewhere at a drive-thru, and he looked in through the window and none of them were wearing PPE and none of them were wearing gloves or masks or anything like that. And he's like, how is that okay? And yet I can't park next to somebody at a trailhead. You know, because they've closed off all a bunch of stuff like that too, and he's just not getting it, right?
Yeah, because you know, they're in a city. They're near a hospital,
right? Well, first off, they're in a city near a hospital, so they have access to those things. But also, second, they should have been wearing gloves. They should have been wearing masks in the drive-thru. I think so. But what he's not understanding about parking out next to somebody in a trailhead, that's not the issue.
No.
The issue is not parking near someone. The issue is being on the trail and getting hurt, and then having other people rally around you, because that's what humans do. And then also having to call out an ambulance, and if you get lost, having to call out search and rescue personnel. And now you've got 500 people potentially looking for you or helping you and passing this virus amongst themselves because they don't even know they have it. And then taking it back to their family.
Yeah. I mean, how many first responders have gotten sick over this?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, especially at the beginning.
I know my brother is a first responder, and uh, he's honestly, he's one of those people that just doesn't get it too, which is kind of funny. Him and his extended family, you know, his own family, he's got two kids and his wife, and then his in-laws live right down the road. And they live in Eastern Washington, and they're going on all these hikes and stuff. And they're probably going on a hike every other day or something because nobody's working. And his wife doesn't work anyway, and his kids aren't in school, and his in-laws don't work anymore. So so he's the only one that basically is working. But he actually was thought to be exposed to the virus a few weeks ago, and was put in lockdown because he's a firefighter. So they were on a call where somebody had it. So they just locked everybody down. I don't know if that's off again and if he's going back to the fire station or not, but either way, you know, he's at a high risk of exposure, and yet he's around them. And then everybody's going out hiking and stuff, not realizing that the problem is not hiking. The problem is getting hurt. And the problem is, what if your, 10-year-old son gets injured and you've got to call in a helicopter or search and rescue personnel or somebody and to help him? I mean, that's just, it's insane. It's totally insane that people don't look at it that way. So it's only a few months too. It's only a few months probably. So I think we can handle it.
Well, see, you say that, and yet my neighbor yesterday, who is a Democrat, was very, 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 very angry at Steve Sisolak for closing down the our governor. Down the golf courses. He's like, God damn it. Like, you know, it's just around a golf. Everyone stands so far apart. And like, it literally made him so angry. I think he might almost like vote for someone else just because, you know, it's just like the worst thing in the world to not be able to golf. You know,
well, and then he's not realizing that there's a team of people that make that happen. You know, there's people that have to come in and work and make sure that, everything runs smoothly. And again, it comes down to, what if you get hurt?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for me, I was saying that it's less for him and more for the workers. And he just like dismissed that out of hand. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Because, obviously I should probably start, pushing buttons and seeing if anyone is still sending out a fuel crew just because, money. But at the same time, I'm like, man, do I really? Because, I felt like that was very harrowing when we went out last month, even though it didn't seem that serious at that point. So I can only imagine how much more serious it would seem now.
right. Yeah.
And the company, the one company that had been in contact with me, they're like one of the more notorious companies for not allowing you to use your own personal vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to take you had this problem when you and Rachel first got to Reno, and she was like, driving your 4Runner out the project. That way, at least one of you could get per diem for driving out. We're not going to mention the company, but it makes me wonder if that policy is still in place. Cause I would almost be willing to take that pay cut just to drive my own vehicle out.
I know. I don't know if they're working at all or not, but that was a while ago when they weren't too used to shovel bums for some reason, and I don't know if that's changed or not. But and to elaborate on that policy, so we were heading out to, that particular trip, I think it was out to either Winnemucca or Ely. Ooh. Because we did two projects. We did both those places with them. I can't remember which one it came into play. Probably both of them, but in fact, it would have been both of them. But anyway. For us to get basically, it was either per diem. It was paid hourly for that time, right? To drive from the office to the job site, basically to the hotel. And in order to get paid for that, 5 hour drive, you had to be in the work vehicle. And most people, they said, just drive in the work vehicle and take like a backpack full of clothes and nothing else. And they just use their per diem to eat out or buy groceries every day. And I'm like, I was like, are you actually kidding me? Do you guys know how to be field archaeologists, like, and work and live in a hotel? So for us to bring our vehicle out there and for one of us to get paid, one of us had to sit in the vehicle and the other one drove our truck and then didn't get paid for it. So it was totally wacky, just a wacky policy. And, I understand a little bit because people always say that to be covered under their insurance, you have to be in their vehicle, but you know what? Yeah. When I had insurance for my company, I still have insurance for my company, but I have insurance for my company. And then I did a few big projects, one of which you were on, and I had vehicle insurance. I never heard anything like that. Like nobody ever told me anything about that. Like I just, it doesn't make any sense. Like I can pay.
Yeah.
I could pay you right now sitting in your house to do some work for me. And it doesn't matter what happens in your house or what you're doing. It really doesn't. You know, I mean, it just, I don't have to now insure your apartment, you know, or no. something like that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I appreciate it if you did.
Well, I mean, hey, trust me, I wouldn't turn it down either. But, you know, it's, I think what it comes down to is some lawyer told them that they could be sued if they're forcing someone to go out in their own vehicle and then paying them to be in their vehicle and then their vehicle gets in a wreck, then they could be sued. So if you're worried about getting sued, then I guess that's probably a problem. But otherwise, man, I'd like to see that in writing, you know, for what that policy is. So
Chris Webster here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. We strive for high quality interviews and content so you can find information on any topic in archaeology from around the world. One way we do that is by recording interviews with our hosts and guests located in many parts of the world all at once. We do that through the use of Zencastr. That's Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R. Zencastr allows us to record high quality audio with no stress on the guest. Just send them a link to click on and that's it. Zencastr does the rest. They even do automatic transcriptions. Check out the link in the show notes for 30% off your first 3 months, or go to zencastr.com and use the code TAS. Looking to expand your knowledge of x-rays and imaging in the archaeology field? Then check out An Introduction to Paleoradiography, a short online course offering professional training for archaeologists and affiliated disciplines. Created by archaeologist, radiographer, and lecturer James Elliott, the content of this course is based upon his research and teaching experience in higher education. It is approved by the Chartered Institute for Archaeologists as 4 hours of training. That's in the UK, for those of you that don't know. So don't miss out on this exciting opportunity for professional and personal development. For more information on price and course structure, visit paleoimaging.com. That's P-A-L-E-O imaging.com. And look for the link in the show notes to this episode.
You mentioned a project, you know, out in the desert that might be coming up soon at some point. Yeah. And, you know, originally, you know, I mean, I'm still probably just going to buy a bigger tent because, you know, because even the one thing about my current setup, I mean, people, you know, I can't like show them my current setup, but it's a very sturdy canvas tent that's meant for winter camping. And the last two times I was on a California project where I had the camp, like when we were in Lake County, my God, that thing was so hot.
Your canvas tent?
Yeah. And the thing is that if we're going to be camping in the Southern California desert, I don't want to wake up with a rattlesnake next to me because, you know, because in order to combat, you know, the hot weather in Lake County, I basically kept the doors open all night.
Well, and doesn't yours, isn't yours not have a floor too?
Yeah. So I was looking. I've been looking up alternative sleeping methods. And, you know, realizing that I can finally maybe that the project does happen, I could, you know, finally get a good summer tent.
There you go.
Because there's one tent I've been looking at, but it's also a long story, but I've also been looking on Craigslist to see what sort of campers or trailers are available. And one of those things I've discovered is that people are dumping trailers really cheap, really good, you know, lately. Like they looking yesterday at, what was it? A 2016 trailer that had been used twice. And it was like, you know, it was very nice and almost brand new. It had like a bathroom and like an actual shower.
Nice.
And they were selling it for like $4,400. And it's just over it's just over the hill. Like, I forget what town that is. It's the one that starts with an R, you know, when you pass Auburn, there's like a town that starts with an R and it's there.
Roseville?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, my God, that's almost, I mean, if I didn't feel like if it wasn't going to be such a hassle to store it, I'd almost buy one.
Well, I saw, so let me tell you two things. Well, let me tell you three things. So first off, if and when we do, I don't want to say if, it's just the guy that told us about that project, he's always a little bit flaky, you know, but so I'm going to say if,
but see,
if we do that project, we're almost definitely going to buy a camper. And because we've wanted one for a while, that'll be a good excuse. I don't want to stay in a hotel room. depending on where it's at, I mean, we're just going to get a camper and we're going to get something that my criteria for that camper at a minimum are definitely a shower, because if we're going to stay in it long term, I'm going to want a shower. It's got to be less than 3,000 pounds total weight, because it's probably going to end up being closer to 4,000 pounds with stuff in it and water, things like that. And I need to be able to pull it with a truck. Now, my truck has a towing capacity of 6,500 pounds, but I know for a fact that my truck, towing my boat full of fuel with stuff in it is pretty close to 5,500 pounds or so. Yeah. And it struggles.
Well, like Craigslist. You should definitely check out Craigslist because I've literally been looking at Craigslist every day.
Well, here's the other thing I was going to tell you. Craigslist is a good place to look, but yeah. One place where you can really sink a lot of your time yeah. is the RV Trader app for your phone.
Ooh.
It is fantastic. It's a really great app. It's really structured yeah. well, allows you to really drill down into what you're looking for with different filters yeah. and stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't go to RV Trader on the internet online because their website is total garbage.
Interesting.
They've got a whole bunch of sponsored posts at the top and ads, and it gets really confusing on what you're actually looking for and what you can see.
Wait, I'm
and the search isn't as good. Yeah, but the app for the my iPhone app for RV Trader, it's so fun. Like I sometimes Ooh. Go in there and just I say, well, let me see. Like sometimes I want to know, like we want to we're looking at campers, but I also want to look at stuff like Class A motorhomes too, right? And Ooh. So sometimes I'll say, okay, well. Obviously, I'm going to get something used, and obviously, I'm going to get something yeah. at least a few years old because I can't afford a $500,000 RV. So, but you know what I do? I look at the yeah. 2020 $500,000 RVs first because then I have like a baseline, and I know yeah. I know what brand new looks like today, and I know what's available, yeah. and then I can step back in the years and look at the different technology and what I want to get, and then yeah. see what I can afford. You know, because if we go full time in a Class A, you know, we're going to do something with our house here. And if we go full time living in it, yeah. I mean, I'm comfortable spending, I don't have to get a loan, obviously. I mean, we can put some down, but
yeah,
I'm comfortable spending between probably 50 and 100 grand on one. And, you know, just for something, because if you're going to live on it, it's like buying a house, right?
Yeah.
So you got to look at it that way. But if we get a camper, that's going to be kind of a stepping stone to that. So my camper type price limit.
Yeah.
And I do this just so I can search and see what's out there. So I usually put in a limit of about 15K, but honestly, I don't think I want to spend more than about 10.
Yeah.
But when we get one, I want to get one that has a shower, like I said. It's got to have obviously cooking facilities and stuff, but
yeah.
and also a bed that you don't have to put away every day because some of the smaller ones have like the Murphy bed kind of thing where you have to flip yeah. it up to get to your couch.
That's what I was looking at yesterday.
I mean, that's okay. I would yeah. deal with it if I found a good deal on one, but yeah. honestly, it's kind of a pain in the ass and I don't really want to do it. So if I don't have to, I don't want to.
Well, see, the main thing for me, I don't care about that as much as I just care about having a separate shower, not one of those combo bathrooms, which, you know, grosses me out.
Oh, I know. Boats have that a lot. Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah. I haven't seen too many of those in trailers and RVs, but definitely see them in boats all the time where you basically yeah. just take the faucet off the sink and put it up on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, there's $250,000 boats out there that have that as their shower. That's like a feature. So
really?
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. we're definitely going to do that. And if we do that and you haven't made a decision by then, I was going to tell you, man, you can use our REI tent. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So. Well, thing is that the, this was going to be like my, I mean, it's a very long story, but my original envisioning, cause like years ago, you know, I had like a giant tent that I was going to use as my office. And then my little squat, little, canvas tent was like my sleeping tent. But the mm-hmm. big tent I got was, it just didn't really work. And the one I was looking at was like, wow, this is like super awesome. And it's like, and it's surprisingly cheap. Like, there's like a canvas tent maker. God, I forget the name. I saw when I was working for a company from Utah that a lot of the field techs were using it. They were using like the little one person tent, and that's garbage. Yeah, especially yeah. since for only $200 more, you can get a 6-person tent. And my idea yeah. was that, you know, I would, you know, for at least winter projects, I would bring both tents. And so one tent, I would set up my office. I'd, you know, have like a little swivel chair, like one of the hunting mm-hmm. ones. And then my table that I haven't used since I don't have a tent big enough, and just like, you know, film episodes in there.
Nice.
Yeah. In fact, I might still do that if we go to Southern California. I'll still probably bring it in, like, whatchamacallit, do that.
I guess it depends on where we're going to be, though. That's the real big thing right there.
Because you mentioned camping. You know, I'm like, oh, neat. You know, I can...
Well, I've only mentioned it because, you know, I'd really like to do it. And I know there's a lot of open BLM land out there. And I would hope that we'd be able to just stay on site.
Yeah.
That would be nice and convenient. Just roll out and go.
Yeah.
Although... You know, I remember when we did that for that other company we worked for down in Eureka. And I'll tell you what, the crappy thing about that was the crew chief wasn't super cool about it. And I remember surveying across our campsite one time and thinking, man, it'd be great if we could just take a break here right now. So, but hey, can I do my show and tell now?
Oh, yeah, do it.
Yeah. All right. So let me, I'm actually going to turn off my virtual background for a second here.
Ah.
Just because I think it's going to mess up what I'm doing. So you're going to see my messy, not messy, I guess, but.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, it just says recording on there, at least on my end.
Yeah, it says it on my side too. I'm recording to the cloud, so we have it.
I wonder if that's one of their security updates.
No, it shows people all the time when you're recording.
Oh, yeah. Good. All right.
Yeah. So, and my wife is watching TV. You can see her feet. her feet are right over here, and the TV is up over here. Anyway, she bought me these on Best Buy and had them shipped here. I got here a few days ago because I knew when the package came. And she doesn't even know that I had looked at these. I saw a video review from somebody who got a pre-sale copy probably like 5-6 months ago. But they are the Bose Frames.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yeah. So just tried this today. Comes in a nice little box here with a case, and then you pull the case up and it's got a pretty much a, you know, a fancy sunglass style case with a magnetic closure to it. And then you open it up.
Yeah. And it integrates with Siri and it's, you know, stuff like that, I assume.
Yeah. So, basically I'll get to that in a second, but let me show you. So they're basically just sunglasses. I could put them on here. Oh, I just turned them on actually. Yeah. So they're basically sunglasses, but they're not what I thought they were because I didn't really look at them too closely. Was I thought they were bone conduction headphones. You know, like bone conduction was all the rage a while back. But these just have, and I don't know if you're going to be able to see it, but these have three, let me try to do that. Yeah. Three speakers in the frames there. That are directionally focused into your ears. And there's a little button. There's a little button down on the side here, this little gold button right there.
Yeah.
And basically when you connect to your phone or whatever you're using, once you install the software update that comes immediately with them, if you hold that button down and turn your head to the right, it turns the volume up. And you turn your head to the left, it turns the volume down. And that is super cool. But also, you know, one tap is start, stop, play, pause. Two taps is next track, and three taps is skip the track. Ooh. And I haven't tried this yet, but there must be a microphone in here too, because you can answer calls on this.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and for people who are listening to the podcast, we should just mention they just look like regular those like regular Blues Brothers style Ray-Bans.
Yeah, totally. That's what I described them as. They look like late 80s Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
But these are the Alto frames, and they have one called Rondo or something like that. And those are the more rounded frames too. So if you like the rounded style frames a little better, then you can get those. Now they're first generation, so they come in black only, like there's no other colors, which is fine with me. Some concerns I have about these.
Yeah.
First off, I thought they'd be heavier. They're not. We just went on a walk. It was about a 30-minute walk, and I didn't even notice them. And I also thought that they'd be super loud, but when you're outside, my wife couldn't even, unless I cranked them all the way up, my wife couldn't even really hear them. you know, because we were outside. If you're inside, of course you can hear them, but I worry about if you're going to wear them on like a bus or a subway or something like that, other people are probably going to be able to hear what you're listening to. But everybody on the bus or subway probably has headphones in anyway, so it's not that big a deal.
True.
Well, so,
I was going to say, assuming they're sitting close enough to even hear you anymore.
I know, right? Right. and then my next concern was the batteries. Because each one of these sides has a battery in it, which must mean, because there's a charging port over here on the side, comes with a proprietary charging cable, which is also really bad because if you lose that cable, it's not like mini micro USB. You can't plug them in anywhere else. So if you lose that cable, you're pretty much done. But
really?
So that must mean because there's speakers on both. So the charging port is over here. And then that must mean that there's wires running through the frame and housing over to here because there's speakers on this side too. And you can't charge those independently. You only charge on one side.
Yeah.
So there's these gold plated hinges, which look really cool. There's no screws on them, which usually on sunglasses, you can tighten that kind of thing up. So I'm wondering how those are going to be over time. and then I thought they'd be really heavy too with these batteries, but they're actually not. They are actually really nice. But the only other concern I have, there's two other concerns as far as field work goes. One is the battery life. I started at 100% and it was down to about a little over 80% when we got back from our 30-minute walk. And I'd actually been running them for about 40 minutes. So 20% in 40 minutes, they're definitely not going to last all day. But you know what? When the speakers fail, they're still just sunglasses. Yeah. So that's good. And then the other thing is sunscreen. Sunscreen likes to eat sunglasses. And if you're wearing high SPF sunscreen, I'm worried that these could get ruined by that. And then the final thing is sweat. So if you're out in the desert and your face and head are sweating, what are these little contacts going to do? Are they going to get wet and then electrocute me with the lithium ion battery in the frames?
Well, I wouldn't say that. They might give you a shock.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but maybe it'll keep me awake and keep me on track. I don't know. You know, the other cool thing is when they're playing, if they're playing like this and you take your glasses off or sunglasses and you kind of lay them on the table like that.
Yeah.
Flipping them upside down shuts them off.
Oh, wow. That actually is cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. They did a really good job by putting in the motion sensors in here. And the other thing with the motion sensors in here is Bose has got a thing that it's kind of crappy. They not everybody's utilizing this technology yet, which is a real shame. It's kind of like when AirPlay first came out, like nothing would work with it, you know, for Apple. But then now everything has AirPlay. So but the cool thing is Bose has an app called the Bose Connect app or Bose AR app. There's two apps. They've got these AR like augmented reality audioscapes, and they're not augmented reality in a visual sense. It's from an audio sense. So I've tried them with the headphones I've got on, my Bose Quiet Comfort, whatever they are. They've got motion sensors in them as well. And when you're listening to the AR audio, they start face on, and if it's something that's like a forest scape or something like that, you can turn your head and the sound changes, right? Like you're looking around in an audio environment. Well, these will do the same exact thing. Now, not incredibly useful, because are you going to be using that app outside and just like wandering around? But it is useful in future circumstances where people are actually utilizing that technology. And by putting in the motion sensors, they made it capable of that, but they also gave it the other abilities to, like, as I said, shut them off by flipping it over and then doing the cool turn up and turn down the audio thing. So, anyway, pretty cool.
Wow, it's interesting because I feel like you and I probably watched the same video, because I remember listening to also watching a review about them. And he was there's also another video, because I know someone else, God, I forget the name, but I know someone else came up with something very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me, but I will tell you one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited when I saw them, and I've looked them up before, but I was very skeptical about the audio quality because, to be honest, they're not going into your ear. And, you know, it's like, so how good can this be? And honestly, at probably 50-60% volume, they sound really great. The volume is, I mean, it's not crazy loud. It's loud enough that if somebody's talking next to you, you're going to have a hard time hearing them. But it's not super loud in your ears, because it's not in your ears. And the tone and everything sounds really good. But if you crank them all the way up, they get a little distorted at the top end when the volume's all the way up. No, I mean, they're crappy little speakers, but they're well done for their size, but don't expect, you know, high fidelity audio out of them. Now, that being said, I was listening to music when we were on that walk. Podcasts are a different story. If you're using these for listening to podcasts in the field, you'll be able to hear people around you because your ears are open, but you can also crank that, because voice doesn't distort as easily as music does. So I think it should be great for that.
Ooh, podcast listening. Oh God, that's interesting.
I know. So,
oh shoot, I like them because something else. But now I totally forget. Well, we'll keep going.
Well, I was going to say I like them because, you know, I've used my AirPods in the field, and I guess the one thing I like about my AirPods is I can use them all day because the case, you know, is a charger like most wireless headphones.
Yeah.
And I'll put like one in, and then when that dies 2 or 3 hours later, I can pull it out and put the other one in. And then when that dies, the other one's charged up, and I can just swap them all day long. Yeah. So these are going to suck from that standpoint, because I can't charge them out in the field. I mean, I could do it at probably a break, you know, plug them into my external battery or something. That's the other thing. I don't know how long they take to charge. The fact that they probably only last 2 to 3 hours tells me that they probably don't take that long to charge either. So, so that's good. So maybe you can charge them on break enough to keep them going for the whole day, and you can just charge them every break and keep them running. But the other thing is, You know, with my AirPods, if I don't want to use them anymore or I don't want them, then I've got to take that case and I've got to put it in my vest or I've got to put it in my pocket or put it in my backpack. Yeah. And then, you know, then where is it at the end of the day? Do I forget to bring it in? But my sunglasses, when these die, they're just sunglasses. That's I don't have true. These on the full day, you know? So,
oh man.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, God, like, I mean, I don't know if you've been to like Cabela's or anything lately, but they, it makes me think of those shooting, the shooting earmuffs mm-hmm. that they sell that are also Bluetooth speakers now or Bluetooth headphones nice. Now. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but it's interesting. You know what? One thing I did notice, by the way, I noticed that on the video you released today, it's like your most viewed video on your channel so far.
Well, I'll tell you why, because my other videos. So what Richie's talking about, if you're interested, is go over and check out the, we named the channel Roadster Adventures, but I can't call it that on YouTube as far as a URL goes because YouTube's being real bitchy about that. Well, it's my old account, the oldest Google account I've ever had. So I think it's youtube.com/ Chris J. Webster or might be Captain Webby. I can't remember which one it is, but it won't let me change like the name. It won't let me turn it into a branded account. It won't let me do anything with it. And so anyway, we changed the logo and we changed the display name of it to Roadster Adventures. And Roadster is the fun combination of my wife and I's last name, Webster and Roadster. But anyway, if you want to check it out, check it out. Just Google Roadster Adventures. You'll probably find it. But so we released episode 7 today, which I just called Archaeology in the Desert. And yeah, it's our most viewed because I was able to share it in more places. So I shared it to a few archaeology groups and I shared it on Twitter and stuff like that because it's basically us recording an archaeology site. And you know, one of the cool things, did you watch the whole thing by any chance?
Of course.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about it is, and we were talking about it, like I've never seen this before on another video. And I know some people may have done it, but I've never seen it. But I basically threw the drone up in the air after we knew how big the site was and just let it sit there for like 10 minutes while we were up recording. Yeah. And it was rock solid. It was even a little bit windy out, not crazy windy, but it was rock solid just watching us record. And
which is amazing how far we've come. Like I remember, was it in Lake County when we were working in Lake County and one of the archaeologists had like what was then the most advanced DJI drone, the one with like the fixed legs and it just like, you know, it looked like a starfish. Phantom. You know, and now we've come to this point and that was like not cheap. And now we've come to the point where was it the DJI Mini cost like what, $300?
Yeah, it's like $400 without the extra package, I think. And it was just and on, you know, it's so small. I mean, I've got it sitting under my desk at my feet right here. And whereas the one I had before this was bigger than my carry-on suitcase. So,
I just had the craziest thought, you know, if for nothing else, like people always complain that you can't use drones on survey, but for nothing else, you can at least use that to like get a plan view of a site.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be so good because there's so many sites that if it's bigger than probably 40 meters across or about 120 feet or so, if it's bigger than that, you're not going to get a good site overview picture, which you're required to take by standing on this end of it. You know, I mean, just having an overhead picture will give you a nice, good, clear view. Now, the one downside to an overhead picture, I will tell you, because in the video, when we're recording, you know, I sent the drone way high just so we could get a good perspective, right? I wasn't really thinking of site overview pictures, but I sent it up really high. But these drones, most of them, the built-in camera has such a crazy aperture setting on that and field of view that you have to be really high up in order to see a wide area of view. So in order to see this entire site, in fact, near the end of the video, when I'm really more centered over the road, which is kind of similar to the background shot that I just snatched on the screen right here, because the site was on both sides of the road. What's the one thing you can't see? In that picture, you can't see flags.
Oh, that's true too.
We're too high up. So you can see flags in site overviews usually. But then again, I'm like, who cares about that? Because you can't tell where the flags are in association with each other. So is it really that big of a deal? But I know that's going to be the complaint. If somebody were to see this as an overview, they'd be like, well, where's the site? And I was like, okay, well, you know, this is the overview though. This is where the site is. Don't worry about where it's at.
Yeah, but they sell aerial targets for drones for like photogrammetry.
Yeah.
Probably just lay all those down.
Well, you're totally right. What you would do is you would lay down like a bullseye type of target everywhere you had an artifact, and that would be just an extra thing that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. But I'm not too concerned with that. Like I would rather take this oversized, this overview image. And then if you really wanted to go nuts with it, you could use it as the background for your sketch map.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to digitize it. You'd have to get it in and georeference it and digitize it, but that's not that hard.
No.
And especially if you have some features like this one had that road in it. So if you had the road mapped in, which we did, of course, you'd be able to overlay this on the road pretty easily because there's two cross streets and then position it in space and then have your artifacts just show up. So,
well, also, you know, it would be much faster than walking or trying to guess a site boundary on the ground. Like you would literally just need that photo, and then you would get you know, the road in maybe, and then any features or artifacts, and that'd be it. Like, you'd cut down a lot of time for not much. Yeah,
totally. No, I mean, this drone sets up in about, you know, from the time it takes me to pull it out of the box or pull the box out to the time where I'm actually turning on and flying it, because if I'm totally down and I've got to hook my phone up, screw on the sticks, you know, pull the whole thing out. I mean, it's less than a minute. And that's not that big a deal. You know, it's really not that big a deal. So
interesting. And, you know, there are plenty of, like, I just bought a backpack now, like a new hiking pack, you know, that, I don't know why, but it makes me suspicious because it's been recently discontinued and like new ones are like flooding the market. So, you know, it's right. Cause I've got like my, the pack I bring with me to the collective when I do my live stream. Mm-hmm. And then I bought one from the same company that, has an integrate that basically has a photo compartment at the bottom. And then the upper compartment is, basically for hiking supplies and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it's got an integrated, the main thing that mattered to me was I had a chest strap and a rain cover.
Okay.
Cause that's the one thing that the pack I bring the collective does not have. And it like freaks me out whenever I think about trying to bring that in the field, especially if it's full of camera equipment.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. God, you know, like, I'm not sure what everyone else is doing to keep themselves busy, but you know, I was really, really, really doing well with like going to all these sites and like exploring them from an archaeologist point of view. And I didn't really want to stop. And so what I did was I Googled up a whole bunch of sites and websites. And there was one website. Hang on. Let me bring it up. God, hang on. That basically had a whole bunch of walking tours of Reno. It's called renohistorical.org. And it hasn't been updated in about a bajillion years. But the one walking tour I did pick, because, you know, I live here, is Midtown. And they're like, apparently 30 sites. And, you know, I also combine that with the fact that I finally found all the right settings for my DSLR. Cause you know, it used to output really good video, but modern video editing programs do not like it, but, or at least they don't like it the way I had it set up for, you know, when I was editing it years ago. And now finally I've got it back up and running, and I went and like tried to record a video yesterday. It took forever because my camera does not do B-roll. I'm not sure how you shoot B-roll, but the way I shoot B-roll for people who are wondering at home is I basically ramp my GoPro up to 120 frames a second and then slow it down to 24 frames a second when I bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
That way I only have to like take like 15, 30 seconds worth of B-roll and then I'm done. And then, you know, I just stretch it out. And it also eliminates shake from like, if I'm hand holding, it eliminates shake, or if I've got it on a not steady tripod, I've got, you know, it eliminates shake that way. But yesterday I literally had to do all my B-roll, cause the whole video is going to be B-roll and me, I'm narrating. I literally had to do it in real time. So I was out there. So what should have taken maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes took me over 4 hours yesterday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the results were beautiful. Like, wow. Wow. This was a surprisingly good investment considering how long I've been using this DSLR.
Nice.
But it also did freak me out because it did start raining a little, and that DSLR is not weatherproof in any way.
Right. Yeah, that is the challenge. And no, I'll try that with the B-roll, because usually we haven't been, you know, we're pretty new at this thing. So
Why I love GoPros. Like, they do 120 frames a second.
I know. And I've got two of them now. And but really what we've been doing is we actually were straight into lockdown, like right after I bought the second one. So we really haven't had a chance to really utilize them, but the cool thing is we're able to we're able to basically each have a camera and then walk around and do our own thing. And we're just kind of shooting video, but I haven't really thought about, I have, before we got the second one, I was deliberately shooting some B-roll just to get B-roll. But I didn't think about speeding it up, and I might have to try that because we do have time-lapse mode, but that's not really the same thing, is it? It's really jacking up the frame rate on the normal recording.
And the thing is, if you shoot at 100, depending on the editing program you use, like I use DaVinci Resolve, so I can basically, it handles the footage. Like even if it's 120 frames a second, I drop it in the timeline, it'll just look, it'll still export it as 24 frames a second. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The main thing is that I can slow it down as much as I want. Well, within reason. So, you know, so basically it gives you like options, which is why I, which is why the, I've been looking for a DSLR that'll do, that'll at least do 60 frames a second in 4K, because that's actually surprisingly hard.
Sure.
Because, you know, after going around yesterday, like, I thought, wow, I really, even though I love doing GoPros, it's not very practical for being in town.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, because,
You know, hey, Speaking of editing software real quick, you were mentioning
LumaFusion
for iPad. Yeah. So I checked it out and I was actually going to, I screwed up. I was actually, it's a $30 app for iPad. Yeah. And I was, which is, I mean, a steal for good editing software. So I was like, well, even if I don't like this, it's going to be, you know, half decent for $30.
Yeah.
I intended to use my Apple Cash because since I got an Apple credit card last August when they came out, I haven't really used any of it. I've got like $200 worth of Apple Cash because you get like a 1-3% back for everything you buy. So it builds up. And except I screwed it up when I actually bought the app and it wouldn't let me convert to switch to Apple Cash. It just took it off my credit card. So so I paid $30 regular for it. But anyway, I'll tell you what, I've got the first generation iPad Pro 12.1 inch. So when they first came out, actually, I don't know if they had come out with another one. It was about a year after they came out. And I don't know if that's a second gen or not. But either way, that was still, what, 4 years ago? Three, four years ago? And I wasn't sure how it was going to run because video editing is typically seriously resource intense, as you know. But I will tell you, I like it. It works. It works really well. It had a lot of inputs I was able to pull right up. I wasn't able to hook my... my Lacy rugged drive into it because I've got a new one with USB-C and then it's got a regular USB cable, but turns out, I don't think the dongle that I have that hooks to the lightning jack on my iPad that has USB, regular USB 2.0, I think it's at my office. So I haven't been able to try that.
Oh, wait, so you can't just do AirDrop?
Well, so yes, you could. But it would take forever because I was importing like 4 gigabytes worth of footage. And AirDrop isn't the best when you're doing that high of and I was, this was a small video too. I just, it was actually one file that I was going to make into our next video for next week. And I'm still going to, I just haven't had a chance to finish it yet, but basically we shot about 15 minutes worth of video at Mono Lake on one of our drives down. And it, I'm just going to do some, it's all drone footage of Mono Lake and I'm going to do a little bit of narration over the top of it and call it good. It's probably going to be like 3 or 4 minutes long. It's a really super cool shots of Mono Lake. Anyway, I've just been playing around with it and I'll tell you what, I was super frustrated at first because learning any new software is like, my God, I know what I need to do. I just don't know what buttons to push. And it's different, but I'll tell you what, it's super responsive. It hasn't bogged down. I'm able to hit a single button and like rearrange the screen in several different, several different ways. And I just really like it. And I think as a remote, you know, able to travel with me sort of editing software and then using the Apple Pencil too. I think it's going to be really good. I really just got to learn it a little more and use it a little more and get into it. So,
cause that's the reason why I was thinking about that because, my heavy duty like editing laptop cannot handle supposedly everyone kept telling me it can handle 4K 60 footage and they're all wrong or either that or they're just not they're using like something that isn't as well optimized because DaVinci Resolve is really meant for like the most, you know, the stoutest computers. It's like meant for current gen hardware, not like older hardware like I've got. And the alternative I was thinking of was like, well, God, do I really want like a third ThinkPad laptop just for editing? Or would I rather get something like, because, you know, I was looking at the iPad Pro, they just discontinued. The one they just discontinued, and it's like, what, $500 or something like that on for a recondition on the Apple website? I was like, man, that's like half of what I was looking at for like an editing laptop.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that makes a lot. Well, I mean, assuming I ever get back in the field or that, well, you know, anything happens this season.
I know. And the thing I'm looking at, too, is if we go full time RV.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at you right now on my 27-inch 5K iMac Retina, 5K iMac Retina, and then also my 27-inch Thunderbolt display over here.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm bringing that stuff into full time RVing. It's just... Yeah. It's going to be too big. It's going to be too much to handle. I'm going to have to put it away every time we want to move. And where am I going to put them? And yeah, I'm just going to get rid of them. So I use my laptop all the time.
Yeah.
And I always use Sidecar, which is Apple's like AirPlay sharing kind of thing for my iPad Pro. But that's really only because I didn't have the apps on my iPad Pro to be able to use. Because the iPad Pro 12.1 inch, the screen real estate is almost the same as my 17-inch MacBook Pro. Yeah. So the nice thing is, you know, when you're sitting in the car, like if Rachel's driving and we're sitting in the car and I'm trying to do some work on there, I've got to have a lap tray down and I've got to have my iPad, my computer sitting on there. And then, you know, I can't really move it when there's glare coming in the windshield because, you know, you have to have your laptop situated in a certain way to be able to use it. But with the iPad, I mean, I want to convert to doing everything on there, and eventually I will, because I can I can use Aria Pro for audio editing, which is a really great editing program, and then using something like LumaFusion for this, and then if I do have an external display that I can maybe pack away and not pull out all the time, like maybe I keep this Thunderbolt or something like that, but I can't hook this Thunderbolt into anything. The connections are too old, so I might have to get something else. But you can hook an external display up to your iPad and just use it like a... Use it like a hard drive, and then you can hook up a keyboard and a mouse to it, and just go to town, you know, and use it like a laptop. So my hope is, and I said this the last time I bought a laptop, but it wasn't true. But I think that really, I hope that really was the last laptop I ever have to buy, and I'm hoping to just be full iPad.
But you said, oh God. But you said that, how many years ago is that? 7 years ago you said that?
I've just been wishful thinking, Richie. It's just been wishful thinking, man. But I think we're there. Aren't we there? You have to admit, with the iPad 12.1 inch Pro and then the new 2020 model coming out this year, or has already come out this year.
Yeah.
With all these things available, with the speakers available, with the recording capability, with the multiple inputs they've opened up with USB-C, and the fact that you can hook a hard drive to it, you can hook a display to it.
Yeah.
You can Bluetooth in your keyboard and your trackpad. It really is an all-in-one solution. And then on top of that, I wish I knew what the name of this company was, but there's a company that makes stuff. They started by making like duffel bags and stuff out of old sails from sailboats. Like people would basically donate them their old sails when they'd rip or something like that, and they would take them and make duffel bags and backpacks, really nice ones. They would take the best part of the sails, clean them up, and they make really cool stuff. And sails are inherently like waterproof, and and you can waterproof them and do all kinds of stuff. Well, then they started making floatable iPhone and, well, really not iPhone. They're big phone, like, you know, your bigger phones like you've got. And then, so it's kind of a one size fits all sort of thing with a clear screen on it, but totally waterproof. It's got waterproof zippers and it has has like a 1-inch foam thing in the back. So behind the screen, it's actually, you can dump this thing in the water and it'll sit there and float up and down. And
they make like one a Pelican case.
Kind of, but totally soft and and made out of really nice material. And then they also make one for tablets from the 10 to 12 inch size, like a regular iPad or Galaxy Tab or something like that, all the way up to the iPad Pro. Because, now, they're not cheap. Like the tablet size one is like $250. But
oh, interesting. Because I'm not sure if you were aware of it, but Pelican actually makes backpacks.
Yeah, I know. I've seen their backpacks. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they also look really heavy, but it's just me.
Well, and that's the thing. There's two things I like about this other company, and I'm going to try to look up where they are, because there's one YouTube channel I follow and they are just nuts over these guys. And so they're probably in every single one of their show notes, which is what I'm hoping. Anyway, the one thing I like about these guys, they're small, they're independent. I mean, they're not Pelican. Yeah. You know, they're just somebody else, and it'd be really cool to cool to try out, you know, and just experience. I'm going to see if I can find them over here, but anyway, it's really cool. I like all of it.
You may have heard my pitch for membership. It's a great idea and really helps out. However, you can also support us by picking up a fun t-shirt, sticker, or something from a large selection of items from our Tee Public store. Head over to arcpodnet.com/shop for a link. That's arcpodnet.com/shop to pick up some fun swag and support the show.
Oh my God. Before we run out of time, because I know we're at an hour, hour plus, but
I think you're going to like next week's,
because I've been uploading, for people who aren't following my channel, I have been uploading once a month, like our previous episodes, the ones that weren't actually live streams. Mm-hmm. And next week's episode, I named it, Make Archaeology Great Again.
Nice.
Because we mentioned that on the episode, and I was like, I think that's the only one, as far as I know.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's interesting. God, now I am, like, the video I recorded yesterday is for August. So literally I am uploading once a week from now through July. Like, literally they're all just like, you know, I mean, they're all just like sitting on various hard drives. I just have to like finish uploading them. It's like nuts. Yeah. It's like, I feel so productive, and it's like ironic that, and I feel like, I forget, I was talking to you about this, or I was talking to someone else. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to get engagement. Like, people are actually commenting on my episodes. Well, even like cool. Episodes I don't necessarily think are that great. Like the one I released this week, like originally it felt more relevant when we could when we could move around outside.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, almost all the B-roll from that episode was from the last time I was last time I went on vacation, which was February, and it feels like a world ago that we could like go outside and go to San Francisco and like, you know, have good food outside and not like have to wear all the gloves.
Yeah.
I'm also very thankful that I didn't catch anything at that point, because, you know, obviously, you know, the whole virus was already spreading at that point. And obviously San Francisco was, you know, ground zero for it in the Bay Area, at least.
Well, I also just saw a note about, by the way, I just linked that in the Facebook chat.
Ooh. Oh, really? Oh, let me look it
up. Yeah, anyway, I did see a note that said that the virus was probably in San Francisco well before we ever thought it was.
I know. Well, I mean, it would have to be. It's like, you know, it's like a major airport destination. There are lots of Asian tourists that pass through there, on and on. Oh, that's a very that's a very interesting photo they put up for us. Of course, they put that photo. Right. You know, for people who aren't looking at the website.
Yeah, yeah. But you scroll down on that front page there, you can see they're not designed for iPhones or iPads. They're designed for tablets and phones of a certain size, right?
Yeah.
It's actually cheaper than I remember. I thought maybe they changed their prices, but the tablet XL, which is what I would need for the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. It's $179. Yeah. And in fact, there's they're affiliated with this YouTube channel I follow. So you can get like a 20% discount code, but it's $179. And the cool thing is, see, this is why I want the iPad to replace my laptop, because I can take my laptop on a boat, because I think eventually we're going to have a sailboat, or not a sailboat, but like a motorboat, or maybe a sailboat. I don't know. But anyway, we'll have something like that. But even if we're living in the RV, you know, there's a lot of times when you have an outside sort of environment that you're in, because even if you're inside, you know, you're more inclined to sit outside in an RV and, you know, put the awning out and, you know, sit out there in your chairs.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to worry about like working out there on my iPad and running inside for something and then having it start to rain outside or something like that. If my laptop is out there, it's going to be ruined. I mean, straight up ruined if it gets rained on, right? There's no going back from that. But this, you can use the tablet in the case, because the case has the screen on it. And the YouTube channel I follow, which is called Gone with the Winds, They have really tested these things, and they're not just blowing smoke up people's ass when they say they endorse the usage of these things, because they've talked to them, you know, they've been in contact with them. They've seen them at boat shows and stuff like that. And I think these guys have even given them a few of them to try out, because they know they're going to talk about them on their YouTube channel. Yeah. And, And they, again, they've put them through the paces. And Nikki, the woman, she uses that for her phone. And you see it in all the videos. Like, she actually uses it. And she puts her credit cards and stuff in there, too, because it's got holes and spots for that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little wallet for her. And it's just, I really like that for the tablet size. I just love stuff that's multifunctional. Yeah. And things like that. That's why I like these sunglasses, you know, because multifunctional, because when they die, they're just sunglasses.
Interesting. So, wow.
Yeah. I actually contacted these guys to see if they would maybe send me a review copy for the podcast.
And
then do some advertising. And they said, no thanks, but here's a discount code in case you do talk about it. I was like, well, that's cool. Thanks. I know I'm not big enough for you guys to care about, but you know.
No, but you should I feel like you should still buy one and review it, because that'll like get, you know, the whole thing started.
I probably will. Yeah. I'm just waiting on a couple things. Cause it's going to be a business purchase. So, but it is $180 cause I want to get the one for the tablet. I want to hold off on the phone sized one because I don't know what kind of phone I'm going to have here in 5-6 months.
Interesting.
So,
yeah. Oh my God. God.
Anyway. You know,
that is interesting, because originally, you know, I was thinking about, you know, one of the reasons I like ThinkPads is because supposedly they're more rugged, but obviously they're only rugged up to a point.
right, totally. Yeah, they're rugged, but they're still laptops, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, interesting. Is your computer still shutting up once a day?
It's not once a day. It's once every couple days, probably. And I think there are some, well, see, I can't even say this because I know that it's shut off when I wasn't even using it before, because I've come in the morning and it clearly has restarted. but then lately, the times that I've noticed it, unless it's shut off at home here overnight and I didn't realize it, because sometimes I will put it into power saving mode and it looks like the same as when it shut off and restarted itself. But every time it's been during a Zoom call.
Really?
The last few weeks.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, like the one we're having now.
Yes, like the one we're having now. It's been during a Zoom call. And because the computer takes so long to recover from that, I've usually got my iPad Pro sitting in front of me. And usually if I'm on with a client, luckily when I leave the Zoom call, it doesn't shut down their call. They just keep talking. And I jump in on my iPad real quick because I can switch to my iPad and jump in on Zoom in probably 20 seconds. And, but it'll take my computer about 2 minutes to restart and turn everything back on. So. Yeah, wow. Super frustrating.
My God, that's kind of like, it's kind of like being trying to get these mixers to work with Windows 10, because apparently it doesn't like any of the firmware.
I'll tell you what, man, I've got some problems, and I don't know if it's the age of this computer or what. Like I said, it's 5 years old and well used, but I also have a Bluetooth antenna problem, because occasionally my headphones, my keyboard, and my mouse will all disconnect simultaneously and then turn back on immediately.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the Bluetooth cycles, and it's never turned off completely, and something's one thing has never failed. It's always everything. So it's like the Bluetooth just shuts itself off and turns itself right back on immediately. It just cycles, but cycles long enough to disconnect everything.
You know, I just had like a stroke. I just had a stroke of inspiration, because I remember when we were working in Lake County, working with that dude who put his like giant server computer in the back room, you know, and that he had a toy hauler, and he just basically used that as like his server room. And I was thinking, man, you could probably like get a toy, you know, toy hauler and turn that into like an office. I might be wrong.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I haven't looked at it. I haven't actually looked inside a toy hauler, like, you know, in person.
And the one thing I don't like about toy haulers is you really have to set everything up yourself, and you got to bolt it down and do everything in the back. I'd rather have something that's just like a living room, you know. I don't need the whole back end to open up and be customizable like that. I'm not interested in that at this level for what I want to do. I want something that's just a nice living room, bedroom, and kitchen area, and enough space for us to relax in and do what we want to do. Plus, you know, one thing that's very important to me, because we want to spend as much time not connected to the grid as possible.
Yeah.
Is some of the newer like Forest Rivers and stuff, they come with
Let me look that up.
Solar. They come with solar run through them. They might not have solar panels unless somebody has put them on them and you're getting a used one, but they come with the connections on the roof and the wiring down to the battery compartment where you would hook up all the solar.
Oh my
God. Because that's just one less thing you've got to hook up.
That's the one. I was looking, the RV I was looking at that was like $4,400 in Roseville. It's already like set up just like that.
Nice.
But, you know, it's interesting. Bring it back around to, like, Mary Kondo. It's, like, I think one of one of the things I've noticed about a lot of this stuff I'm seeing mm-hmm. on Craigslist is the fact that people like use these RVs twice, and they had them mostly just to have them, and now they're dumping them because they don't feel like they're necessary to like their life. And right. makes me wonder how much of this is going to like start cratering the not just the RV market, but like, you know, all sorts of markets like that, because, you know, obviously it won't really matter for like the campgrounds and stuff, because like the people who are going are probably still going to go. It's mainly just these people who had stuff just to have them. Like, how many people, yeah. not just RV, not just campers, but how many people just had boats just to have boats? Like, you know, they took it out like in like 10 years, they took it out like 3 times and they got right. super scared. Right. And they're like, you know, this is like a lot of money and it's a lot of hassle. I'd rather just, you know, I'd rather just sit here in front of my 65-inch flat screen. Or alternatively,
well, I will tell you.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just say, I will tell you, I joined a Facebook group because I was looking for different ones, and I don't know if I'll stick in this one or not, but there's a whole bunch of RV Facebook groups for people who are, you know, living in their RVs or doing whatever. But one of the ones I joined was called Living the RV Dream. And there's a lot of good posts in there about people talking about different things and an RV life. And somebody posted, I can't find the post right now, but somebody posted about basically wondering about a price on a used RV. They were like, you know, should I offer 20-30% under MSRP, you know, for one that's a few years old? What's a good deal? And I saw a few pieces of advice in there. One of them was, first off, somebody knows somebody that works in financing, and they said that they've had, they've been flooded with requests for RVs, RV loans, because lately, because a lot more people are wanting to get into it because they see it as a way to social distance. They see it as a way to, not be, they still want to go camping and stuff over the year, over the summer, but they don't want to go on cruises and they don't want to take planes.
Good for that.
And it's a way to, so we're having a flood of RVs. But this other guy said in a normal year, you'll often find over the summer, usually around midsummer, a whole bunch of, you know, 1 or 2 year old RVs come on the market because people bought them the year before. And just like buying a brand new house, there's always going to be small manufacturer defects, right? So the good thing about getting one that's 1 or 2 years old, if you can afford something, because it's still going to be really expensive, but if you can afford one that's 1 or 2 years old, A, you're going to get one where somebody already had all the little stuff fixed, he said, because they had that stuff fixed the first year they had it. And RVs and camper trailers depreciate super fast. Like they walk off the lot and they lose 40%.
The one I was looking at yesterday, it was $4,400. It is, it's what the hell is the name of this thing again? Forest River. It's the, it's their E-Pro. Like, I'm looking at the picture of like what I was looking at on Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, it's literally like the trailer I was looking at. And like, I don't know how much they paid for it in 2016, but they like, used it twice. And now they're trying to get rid of it for $4,400. And I'm like, man, that would almost be worth it ish. But the thing is
that E-Pro is nice.
Yeah. And the crazy part, you know, and like it's fully set up. It even has like the satellite radio dish or whatever, or a satellite TV dish.
Nice.
That I don't really care about, because I don't literally only use the TV for like, you know, as a monitor.
yeah, totally. Me too. Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, I was doing my, I was evaluating my needs, because what I really want to do, if I'm going to be driving around and doing stuff, I want to keep shooting these videos where I explore stuff. And like a lot of these places are like, you know, really far out the beaten trail. It's like, do I really want to leave like my camper like down below in the valley and like drive up? Or would I rather just like have a tent and bring it with me?
And
like camp there. Because, you know, obviously, you know, filming takes like a while, especially since I really want to start upping my game in terms of like, because like I've been recording good episodes, but I'm realizing that one of the reasons I keep looking for more cameras, and one of the reasons, because originally I was going to get a GoPro 8. But then I realized it's, would I rather have one GoPro 8 or would I rather have 2 or 3 more GoPro Hero 4 Blacks or whatever? You know, and that way I can just like set them all up on very, you know, at various points, get them all turned on, and then just like start walking around. And then, you know, and that way I don't have to like do what I do now, which is like set it up, you know, get it recording, record B-roll, move it, pretend I'm walking back through again over and over and over again. That's the reason why I haven't been recording enough B-roll, because sometimes it just gets like really tedious and I'm like, God, this is so boring. I'm just going to like hope that I got enough. And sometimes I got enough and sometimes I don't.
Right, right. Well, I guess my advice, without ever owning a like the GoPro 4,
yeah,
because I have two of the Hero 8 Blacks, the stabilization has, from what I've read, gotten way better over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And if you only had one of those and used it as like your walking and talking camera or something for Uber stabilization, it wouldn't be the worst thing. And yeah, they're pretty, if you don't need all the accessories, because you probably have a lot of stuff that already hooks to these things, then
oh yeah,
they're pretty affordable, you know, even to get a brand new one.
Yeah.
So
see, I'm trying to like figure out what cuts down the most time, like more mm-hmm. cameras or one camera that's really super stabilized. And I was thinking, man, because
right.
The episode, God, was it June or July's episode that where I was going around Keeler, and you know, not that I spent that long in Keeler and Swansea, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I realized, man, it would have been so much quicker if I had basically, because there were sand dunes everywhere, and so I could have just hidden all these cameras and just like had all these like mini tripods and just like, you know, because like the way, oh my God, it was so tedious, just like sit, just like yeah. moving a little and then moving it here, moving it there. It was just like yesterday. Yep. The reason it took 4 hours is because I really wanted to try out my DSLR. I mean, not only because it could only record 24 frames a second, but also because since I had the one camera, I just had to keep moving it.
Yeah.
And the reason totally. I was using my DSLR and not my GoPros is because GoPros, you can't like zoom. And I really, mm-hmm. I didn't want to be like in the middle of the street, like trying to record with my GoPro. It was just easier right. just to slap a zoom lens on my DSLR and just like record it across the street.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I hear that.
Like, although there was one point yesterday where I was right next to Sundance Books and like right at the edge of the bike lane, like, you know, and people were trying to turn right and moving around me. And I thought, this feels really stupid. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, wow, this feels really dumb. But right, still, man. I'm super happy with the footage I got.
Well, there you go. That's all that counts.
My God. So. Yeah, I'm not sure if you've been watching. I mean, I know I mentioned this last week, but I'm still completely amazed at some of these urban exploration videos and the 500,000 views they get. And like, they don't know anything. I'm like, oh my God, this is so terrible. Like, I wouldn't even know these videos existed if I hadn't like, you know, if I hadn't been like typing in these places and like found these other yeah. videos where they're just like, oh my God, it's like they literally don't know anything. And I'm like, my God, how can you sit there? Like some of these videos are like an hour long. And I'm like, how are you sitting here? I mean, obviously I sit through them because I have to, because I keep hoping yeah. that something interesting will happen, but no, they don't know anything. And they just walk around and they make these comments about, I don't know what this is, but it's cool. Or, it, you know, this is weird or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, my God, like if these dudes can get 500,000 views, hopefully there's enough interest in someone who actually knows what they're looking at. I mean, we'll see. Because obviously the first real episode will come out. The first real episode I did. And that wasn't a very good episode, by the way. Comes out at the end of the month. It's when I went around walking around Randsburg. And I was still working on like my delivery. And like, you know, what I was going to say. Because like right now, I basically have like what I'm... I know what to record. I know what to say and stuff like that. But at that point, and for at least through maybe May or June, I'm still like working mm-hmm. out what I'm going to say. I like yeah. even, I've even trying out like new intros, even though none of them feel make me as happy as just saying, hello, junior archaeologist. Like literally, I've been trying all sorts of other ones and I realize they sound more professional, but it just makes me happy.
I hear you. Hey, do what you like. That's all that matters, like I said.
Yeah,
I think you should share your videos out more too. I try to share them when I see them, but I don't always see them when they came out. So, you know, encouraging people to do that, I think is.
Well, I've been doing it on all the social media I have. I haven't been sharing mm-hmm. them, and I'm not a member of as many Facebook groups as I think you are, at least for archaeology. Like I'm only Archaeofield Techs and the other one, the one that's North like American meant more and more for East Coast people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in those obviously, but I'm in CRM project managers and the basic archaeology one. There's two actually.
There are.
As far as I know, yeah, there's one spelled with the AE and there's one spelled EO. And I was kicked out of the one spelled EO about 5 years ago and I've never been let back in.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I had sort of a tiff with the owner, and it's more of a British focused one, British run anyway, but they had thousands and thousands of people in there.
Ooh.
And they got mad at me because I was posting podcast episodes. It was before I was even running the APN. It was just CRM podcast episodes.
Yeah.
And they were mad at me because I was posting links, and they said, we don't allow link posting. And I was like, they said, without generating conversation. I was like, okay, yeah, but the title of the episode, and if you listen to it, that like generates the conversation. Yeah. And they're like, no. And I was like, what the hell are you guys talking about? And somebody was just having a bad day, one of the moderators, and they're just like, all right, fine, you're banned.
Oh,
they banned me from the group, and nobody ever goes back and looks through the banned list and says, maybe we should unban these people. So, I mean, I can tell you that right now, we banned a lot of people from Archaeo Field Techs, and
oh, really?
I literally never go back and look at that list and unban them. Yeah.
Ooh. So interesting.
I don't know that we've banned any real archaeologists except for a few that I can think of that really did violate some social and ethical policies. But most of the people we banned are trolls anyway, so.
Yeah. You know what's sort of depressing now that I think about it? It's the fact that most of the really, really, really popular archaeology podcasts are all are basically all academic focused. They're not like really field archaeology focused. Like I started listening to one yesterday. I'm not sure if you've heard, maybe you've heard of it. Was it Ark and Ants?
I've heard of them before, but I've never really listened to them.
I mean, it's not to say that I was actually, you know, he's a very excellent host. Like he's very smart and insightful and asks like very good questions, but still all his stuff is very theoretical and you know, just very God, I don't want to sound like I'm being anti, you know, academic, but it's just like, I feel like, God, aren't people interested in like the nitty gritty down ground details?
Well, and that's what I feel like we try to cover in the CRM Arc podcast is really getting into that kind of stuff, because you're right. There's there's another big anthropology focused podcast. Ooh. What the heck's it called? I can't remember what it's called, but there's a few anthropology podcasts out there. And I'll tell you what, the anthropology ones, if you call yourself an anthropology podcast, they are typically run by academics because there's, I mean, we're archaeologists. There's not that many academics that are in archaeology. You know what I mean? I mean, they're in archaeology, but they really call themselves anthropologists. And if you're in anthropology and you call yourself an anthropologist, you're probably an academic. And most of those podcasts that I've listened to are heavy on theory, heavy on you know, real technical stuff. So I don't know who their audience is, but it's definitely definitely people who are in the business, it seems.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's kind of like the reason why I appreciate, oh God, was it Dig It with Raven? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah. You know, I commented on one of her videos. You know, I thought it was very interesting. It's like, it's, you know, it's hers is one of those channels where you think, wow, like it should be getting more views. I mean, obviously like some of the more pop culture focused ones are getting more views, but I feel like, you know, some of the other stuff. And even though, you know, she called herself an archaeologist, she's also more academic focused than I am. Like I was looking at her gear video and like, wow, that's like, you sound just like you're in school. Look at some of that stuff you pack. Because, you know,
Totally.
Obviously I pack all sorts of different things. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not going to go over it now because like it would take like a bajillion years, but
right.
I'm actually going to do, I was going to do a video where I show everyone where I basically like, you know, Marques Brownlee does like what's in my bag or what is it? Mm-hmm. I always forget like what gear he's carrying now. And I was thinking I should do that too. Even though that would take much longer than Marques Brownlee, I feel like.
You carry a lot of gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially now that I'm like adding like GoPro stuff. I mean, I'm not sure that actually counts. I might be wrong.
You know? Yeah.
You know, it's also interesting. You know, God, if I was hoping this week was going to be the week where everything went off without a hitch. Because I was thinking we should, if we have at least 2 weeks where everything goes off without a hitch, we should invite a guest on.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, screenshot everything and then you'll have it for next week. Write it down, figure out where everything is hooked up, and then we can just turn it on next week and go to town.
Well, that's the thing. I only changed one thing. So I undid that one thing and it's working now. So as long as you and the guests don't mind not being able to see me, like everything should be good.
Well, and we can see you 30 seconds behind if we watch it on Facebook, so.
That's true. I mean, it makes me wonder because, like, obviously, plenty of people do podcasts without seeing each other, so maybe it almost be the same thing.
Yeah, I don't see the problem with it. The only reason I have my video on is so you can transmit it into the Facebook thing. So otherwise, I'd probably have it off. So
yeah.
Well, I think we should probably kill it. I want to get a Peloton workout in before dinner tonight. So yeah.
Interesting. Anything else you want to talk about for the APN coming up this week or anything?
I don't think so. We're just keeping it going. I'm surprised that, well, not surprised, but luckily my hosts are continuing to put out content because they all have time to now. And yeah, we had a good Serum Art podcast recording today. Like that I said, it'll be out the 22nd. We cut it short because, you know, they all had dinners and families and things like that they were doing. And we all kind of forgot it was Easter. So, you know, cause it's our normal recording time, but we said, screw it, let's record anyway.
So, oh yeah. And happy birthday.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Yeah. Kind of forgot it was my birthday too. So,
so you're like me like that. But
I know. Well, if this were a normal, like, you know, April, we probably would have rescheduled, then you and I wouldn't be talking right now because my wife and I probably would have gone somewhere. We'd be out camping. We'd be doing something for my birthday.
Yeah.
But since we're basically locked down and socially isolating, then we're just home and it's like any other day. Cool. Yeah. So no big deal. But I'm sure that we're going to have a great summer. I'm looking forward to some field work. I'm really looking forward to getting on the road and doing a few archaeology projects and camping out and buying a trailer to do that in. And then I think if I get my way, if the air races get canceled, for sure, we're going to probably do something like this. But I think we might head over to the East Coast for a month or two because my wife's sister is going to be having another baby and we might want to be out there for a little bit. And I wouldn't mind going out there with our own camping trailer and having the freedom to just basically do whatever we want. Cause there's a lot of East Coast stuff that we never did when we lived out there.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to take little weekend trips and midweek trips to do stuff like that. So,
oh, and you won't have to be camping and you won't have to be sleeping inside a VW Beetle anymore.
Right. Done that. Been there, done that. Surprisingly high amount of room when you put the seats down. So
too bad you don't have photos anyway, from those days, because you know you could have done like a comparison photo.
I'll tell you what, man. Jeez, yeah, I don't have those photos. Yeah. All right, man. Well, right. I think that's good for now. Yeah, I'm glad we got this working and I figured out. I was ready to bail on it. So, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see you next time. And for the audience on the archaeology show, thanks for listening to this recording. And if you want to join us live, you can head over to facebook.com/archpodnet, ARCHPODNET. Or Richie's got a few places you can watch it too. And those are?
Yeah, on YouTube, it's Happy Archaeology Fun Time. And on Twitch, God, I want to say it's the man in the hat, but I might be wrong about that. So don't, but the actual link is always in the descriptions of my videos. So, you know, you can always just go there.
There you go. Oh, I will leave you with one more little nugget. Something I'm usually working pretty much every day, whether it's editing podcasts or videos or real work or something like that.
Yeah.
But I did take some time out on Friday for a long time and I took some time out yesterday.
Yeah.
I downloaded, cause it went on sale from $50 to $22. No Man's Sky for PS4.
Oh,
and maybe we'll talk about that next time. Cause I haven't quite processed how that game works yet. So,
because I almost thought you were going to say Animal Crossing or whatever that game is.
Oh my God. No. No Man's Sky. Look it up if you don't know what it is. And it's pretty cool. It's not a shoot 'em up game. It's really basically exploration. So, but we'll talk about that next week.
Except no one's paying you. All right. I'm going to shut it off now.
That's right.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy, everyone.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Archaeology Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. You can provide feedback using the contact button on the right side of the website at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/archaeology. Or you can email Chris at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Please like and share the show wherever you saw it so more people can have a chance to listen and learn. Send us show suggestions and follow ArcPodNet on Twitter and Instagram. This show is produced by the Archaeology Podcast Network. Opinions are solely those of the hosts and guests of the show. However, the APN stands by their hosts. Special thanks to the band Sea Hero for letting us use their song I Wish You'd Look. Check out their albums on Bandcamp at seahero.bandcamp.com. Check out our next episode in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, keep learning, keep discovering new things, and keep listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network. Have an awesome day. This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
And let's see, we're not disabled yet. All right, we should be dead or dying, or now we're fully offline. Ha! Perfect, we're good.
Nice.
Whew. Wow, all right.
All right, cool, man.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US dollars a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.